Like I told my producer to cut the music, and the producer is me. Thank you for tuning in to Choose to Joy broadcast. Well, I should say podcast. This is Brother Eric, and we're doing Incarcerated number 10. 10 straight episodes with my brother, Trey Gupton, on it, and he has yet to call in. So I forgive him for that. But we still can keep the show moving. We've been talking about Trey's experience of getting incarcerated, Trey Gupton. If y'all know him, the first thing you would say about him is he should not be getting incarcerated. And Trey put me through so much. You know, him being locked up put me through a whole lot. I couldn't complain because he's in jail. But it put me personally, me and my family, it put us through a lot of stuff we had to. You know, we had to overcome it through the power and the blood of Jesus and running to the Lord. But Trey tried to add a lot of stress on me and my family. So let me pull him on so I can talk to him about that. Trey, you never did apologize for what you put me and my family through when you got
arrested. You have to enlighten me.
You have to help me on that one.
What do I need to apologize for? I mean, because of your mistake, that kind of fell on me and my family a little bit, and I just don't appreciate what you did, man. I'm really just being light with you, man. I mean, although, you know, it did kind of tax my mind a little bit, and people, the stuff that people call me and say, I'm there, you know, defending you the best I can. They're like, man, what Trey doing? What Trey doing? I'm like, man, well, you don't really understand the whole thing. So that's why I'm glad you was able to come on the show and kind of share the truth, you know. Share the truth.
Well, they're welcome to call me and ask me.
Well, they couldn't call you then. Nobody called you then. So they couldn't
they
call
certainly
you
ain't calling now.
They're not asking no questions. That's right. I took care of it though, Trey. I handled everything, man. I broke it down to A to Z. You're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's cool. You know one thing I realized though, man, and I want people to ask themselves this question. And I think this is actually coming from my father's point of view. I don't know exactly what happened with you, Trey, but he said he was in college, or maybe it was a little bit before he went to college, one or the other. And a guy said, asked him to run this package from A to B, and he made $500 by doing that. And I was thinking, I've never sold any drugs. I ain't saying I've been the most perfect person in the world, but I've never sold drugs, never dealt drugs. And I was wondering, I think it's by the grace of God. And I was wondering, what if that opportunity had knocked on my doorstep at a certain point in time in my life, would I have not made that run across the street? How did yours start, Trey? Did it start similar or something like that?
Yeah, it did start kind of similar. Mine was a little more direct than that because I had an opportunity to directly sell something in profit. And so I did, and I guess for me it's a little different because observing kind of some of the things I observed, you know, growing up, like your dad on the outside looking, he seemed to be like the happiest person I knew. Like he ride around in Lincoln and you know, he had a very
happier than passes scales. Well, no, but
you know, Pascal's had that kind of happiness that seemed unattainable. So I, he didn't really count in how I even figured.
He had sacrificial happiness.
Yeah, he had that happiness where you don't do nothing you like, and then you happy.
That spiritual happiness.
Well, you don't do nothing you enjoy, and then you just happy in the spirit. You know, that's how it sounded to me at the time. Anyway, but your dad had that carnal happiness.
He did.
It seemed like, anyway, this is very much just, you know, a very young and ignorant perspective in many ways. And so seeing some of the things I observed, I was able to quantify, you know, kind of loosely in my head financially what that meant, what that translated into. And so the opportunity one day just came for me to connect some dots without even having to do anything. And similarly, I made, you know, $500. And it was so easy. It was like, it was almost like, it felt like magic that $500 could be produced like this. Like, you know, people go to work all week to make $500, 8 hours a day, doing something crazy, you know, to make $500. And it got just produced in no time. And I said, wow. And that was pretty much the beginning. You know, I just had an opportunity to develop kind of a market. And I just saw the potential in it. Didn't see a lot of the downside, of course, going in. You're very green. You don't really know what you're dealing with. You know, it's a learning curve like anything else. But so, yeah, that's kind of how it started for me to answer your question. It was just an opportunity to connect two dots. I did. Made, you know, a very quick $500.
I want to help people because it's one mistake. It's one decision that leads to another bad decision, especially when you're dealing with stuff that are addictive and easy money. And then next thing you know, you're starting to live the lifestyle of the one thing, the one decision you made way back when. What would you say, Trey, if that opportunity was knocking on somebody's door today, they could just make a quick $500 by selling an illegal substance?
Well, I mean, the short answer would be, man, don't do it. You know, you're, of course, I understand the allure of it, but the short answer would be, don't do it. And I would, you know, I could
educate
them as to why. Because it's a very slippery slope, man. Even if you don't get in any trouble with that first $500, it's going to produce an opportunity in your head to continue to do that. And then you go down a road of not only financially does it change because you have the opportunity to take losses, to get into all kind of different stuff, and then just the legal ramifications. You just don't weigh them up honestly at first. You really don't weigh them up honestly at all until it happens to you, no matter how, you know, how you do your due diligence. But I could, you know, very easily break it down to them. The opportunity cost, I guess as they call it in business, man, for selling drugs is just not there. For all the potential gains that you can make, the cost of it going wrong in just one of several ways is so huge that it outweighs, you know, it outweighs the potential gain. And so I could easily explain. I mean, just you get caught one time, and there's several ways to get caught, and it can be more drastic depending on the circumstance. But to have all of your, like I said, for me, and if it can happen to me, it can happen to, you know, anybody, you know, all of your stuff taken, to go to prison, jail, all that stuff, you know, you – chances are you're not making enough money to overcome that. And if you are, they're going to take it. And so, again, that depends on how you get caught. A lot of people get caught just because they get happened upon. You know, they are doing stuff ignorantly and they just, you know, get stopped or something like that. That wasn't the way it happened for me. You know, they had to do something. That wasn't the way it was going to happen. They were going to have to do some investigation to catch.
Let me ask you go this. If you hadn't got caught, do you think you would have ever stopped? I know you would hope to stop, but was there a way out? Did you see a way out? Would you have ever stopped?
Well, I mean, I had several plans on ways out. And, you know, it's important to note that I had stopped before. You know, in 2008, I stopped for several years. And so it's one thing to stop. But, again, once that opportunity is there and you kind of always have a business opportunity where you have an ability to acquire a product and the means to sell it,
you know, that opportunity is always there in some sort, you know what I'm saying? And so I can't say confidently that that I would have stopped successfully. I know I would have tried again as I tried before. I know I would have attempted to stop, because I didn't even necessarily like, it wasn't fulfilling other than financial. I didn't like, you know, I didn't like being on the wrong side. I never really enjoy all of that. So I know I would have tried. I don't know how successful I would have been without some other major intervention, unless, you know, one of the other things I was attempting to do financially was successful, then maybe. But, you know, for somebody to stop, you know, and unless they're transitioning into something that they set up that's equally as lucrative and is on some level fulfilling and not much more taxing in terms of time and the work it takes, then it's challenging to stop. I don't see many guys that just are making decent money, there's no problems, and then they just stop and go get a 9-to-5. It's just, that's pretty rare.
Man, Trey, you got 3 minutes. I want you to name, well, don't name anybody, but talk about maybe the experience in the life of hustling that you had that was one of those experiences that kind of just stood out to you where it just kind of got crazy.
Man, I ain't even comfortable talking about the ones that come to my mind at the front of my mind. But,
well, if you're not comfortable talking about it, don't do it.
But there are probably some that, you know, that I could. You know, I remember there's just so many situations, man, you run into.
I know.
I remember. On the positive and the negative side, man, you know, it's just so many, man. I remember one time being stopped. This was one of the only times that I was ever stopped while I had something on me, because most of the time, 90-something percent of the time, I would never have anything on me. But this particular time I did, and in the trunk of my car, I had, I had something going on, and I got stopped. And I was a little nervous, man, because I had never experienced that before. While logically I'm telling myself, you know, there's no reason for me to have any issues, because you got to think, unlike now, I didn't have any record or any, I wasn't suspicious in any way. If anybody sees me, that would not be their first thought is, you know, he's got some illegal substance. So I remember feeling extremely nervous, man. And, man, the police officer, man, he was a gentleman. He was cool, and I remember, man, I was so nervous. I accidentally popped my trunk as I was getting all my paperwork together. I was talking about, man, I was like, oh, my God. But it was the type of pop where it didn't let all the way up. You know how it latches in the back where you can lift it up?
Yeah.
So I made the quick decision where I'm not getting out to go shut it. And so, because, you know, if you don't know any better, you can't even tell that it's open. It's just, you know, the seam between the trunk and the rest of the car is a little wider. So I just decided, man, I'm just going to act like it ain't even open. And well, man, that took my nervousness from, you know, 50% to 150%. So, man, it was bad, man. And I remember having to drive off.
He just didn't notice anything.
He just didn't notice. And I remember having to drive off really slow because, you know, if you drive off with your trunk unlocked, it can kind of flop open as you drive off. So I remember after I'm cool and he done went back to his car, you know, they wait on you to pull off. And so now I'm having to pull off and hope to God that this trunk don't open as I pull off. But I'm still not finna get out and go shut it. You know what I'm saying? And so I pulled off extremely slow, man. And I was so thankful, man, the trunk didn't open. And I got where I was going. And for a long time after that, I never traveled with nothing again. I orchestrated something else. I never did that, no. Just for that right there. There's so many of them, man.
We're completely out of time. Hopefully tomorrow we can talk about some more of the situations. I don't even think you ever told me that one. That is hilarious, bro.
Yeah,
man, this is a Tuesday joint. This is the Choose to Join podcast. I'm Brother Eric. That's Brother Trey. This is Incarcerated Number 10. And hopefully we'll have a longer show tomorrow. We'll have more time. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye. And cue the music. It is not coming up. I might just hang up then.
Oh, man.
There we are.